from tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 11th Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, February the 18th, 2007. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service teaching on enablers.
Father, we just thank you that the children of the righteous are blessed, that the loving kindness of the Lord goes to the thousandth generation of those who keep covenant with you and remember your precepts to do them. We, Lord, we remind you of your covenant to us and to our children and to our descendants. We thank you that if we and our house, Lord, we thank you that because we believe on you, that we will are saved and our household will be saved. Father, we remind you of Job 22 that says if we lay our gold in the dust and make the Almighty our gold, we can decree a thing, and those who do not deserve to be saved will be saved by the cleanness of our hands. So we declare salvation. We bless our descendants. We bless our seed. We say our seed is a blessed seed. We say, come forth and love God with your whole heart. We bless every person in this box to love God with their whole heart. We bless them with prudence, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, might, excellence, and the fear of the Lord to turn away from evil. And Lord, we dedicate our generations to you. And God, we ask that never again will there be an ungodly seed in our bloodline. In Jesus' name, we make a covenant with you. We bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, bless the Lord, oh my soul, Patty. The Spirit of God has come on you, girl. I just want to say, Patty. And you know what? You didn't have to tell us it wasn't flesh. We knew it was God. I know he did.
Our creed, I want order. I want God's order. I believe in God's order. I pray for divine order.
I know you do. We see it.
Any confusion is because of the fact that it's just, you pray for me because I want, even if I got the offering backwards, you know, maybe there's a little dyslexia.
I break that curse in the name of Jesus. You are so blessed. Don't you appreciate the love that she shows? I'm telling you, she just bubbles over with love. And I had a camp. I had a ministry farm, and I didn't have the attitude she had. It's probably why I still don't have it. I think I cursed it to death with my words. God have mercy on me. I thank God for repentance. I thank God he forgives us. I thank God that he looks at our heart even when we're ignorant, right? Praise God. Anyway, I just bless you, Patty. I just pray that you can tell she's not burnt out by a camp. You can get burned out around a camp really quick, right? Well, bless the Lord. Lord, I ask you to cover us with your precious blood. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your angels that are ministering all over this camp. We thank you that no weapon formed against us or this camp or Glenn will prosper, and every tongue that accuses us in judgment we condemn now. Lord, thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. And Lord, we take our seat in the heavenly places, and we take the keys that you've given us to the kingdom of heaven to bind and loose, and we bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places, from us, from this camp, from our children, from our descendants, from our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, from our possessions, from our finances. We command you to get your hands off everything that concerns us. And Lord, we nullify, make void, and cancel every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, ritual that's been spoken over us, our children, and our descendants. And Lord, we thank you that a curse without a cause cannot lie. So we bless you, Lord. We bless you, bless you, bless you. You're awesome, God. Awesome, God. Praise you, Lord. Well, a couple of months ago, the Lord told me that I was to teach this message, and I've only taught it maybe one time. since God gave it to me years ago, but it's a message on being an enabler. Basically, an enabler is a rescuer that tries to rescue people from God when God's trying to give them a spanking. So a rescuer just runs in there and takes the hit for the person they're rescuing. They try to be a noble savior of sorts to try to save people from the pain that's on them because of their disobedience to God. Right? God says a rebellious man seeks only evil, so a cruel messenger will be sent against him. So when we try to rescue, guess who gets hit by that cruel messenger? Us. And I believe most of us have been enablers. If we're not, we have been. And many of you here are enablers, or God would not have given me this message. I know that with all my heart. Amen? In the Old Testament, if a child was rebellious, they took them before the elders of the church and they stoned them to death. Today, you and I get stoned when we get to the outside of God's refuge and we step into Satan's realm. God has a refuge. One of the ways of sanity says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul. Amen? And so when we come to God, we have to give up control of our life. If I'm coming under His yoke, that means I'm coming under God's control. Is that correct? Does that mean I'm perfect? No. You won't be perfect till you enter eternity. Is that right? And so another way of coming into God's refuge is getting on the potter's wheel. It's another way of saying giving up control. What's the clay doing? It's resting on the potter's wheel. Is that correct? The potter's job is to take the junk out. Is that right? Those of you who are legalistic or think you have to do it yourself, it's God's job to make you holy. Amen. Yield to God and He will take the junk out. Amen. Faith purifies the soul, and it takes faith to give your heart up to a God that you think maybe is like your mom and dad. You know, if you grew up with a harsh, angry, stiff, stern, mean mom and dad, it's hard to give yourself to God completely because you have a demonic fear of God. But when I get on the potter's wheel, it's another way of saying I'm yielding to God. I'm giving up control of my life. I do one thing, and that's yield. The God does the rest. He takes out the trash. Is that right?
Yeah.
And when I yield to Him, I'm abiding in Him, and I'm producing much fruit. And so God has a refuge, and when I'm under God's refuge, I'm safe. I'm in. That's a picture of submission to His Lordship. It's another way of saying what I've just said. There, the arrow, it says in Psalms 91, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, You're my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I take refuge. I'll not be afraid of the arrow by day, of the arrow that flies by day, the noisome pestilence, the destruction that lays waste at noon, for 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it'll not come near me. I'll only look on with my eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Why? Because I have made the Lord my refuge. Even the Most High my habitation, no evil shall befall me, nor will any plague come near my dwelling. You say, well, I got a plague or two in my dwelling. Well, that just says you made something else in that area of your life a refuge. It can come down generationally. Some area of your life, it doesn't mean God's Word's not true. I used to read that and say, because I make the Lord my refuge, even the Most High my habitation, no evil shall befall me, nor no plague will come near my dwelling. I say, well, maybe Dr. So-and-so doesn't believe that. So maybe it means something different. It means just what it says. God's Word. And I loved to hear the two ladies that spoke, how they emphasized the importance of God's Word. Nowadays, God's Word's not used very much. It's maybe one scripture and about 42 illustrations. God's Word is like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. And like the two ladies said, every problem you have is found right here in God's Word. And anyway, so if you've got some kind of a little thing, and I've got a few things, glasses are a curse according to Deuteronomy 28. I'm still looking for answers to why I'm wearing these glasses. Praise God, my eyes are getting better because I keep on repenting of everything God shows me. But the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28 that sickness is a curse. And if it's a curse, you're not going to get well going to the world for answers. Now, they can take it out, move it around, shift it around, sew it up, patch it up, and help you hang in there. But if you want the, you have to find the cause of the curse before God's going to heal you. And that's why so much prayer for healing doesn't work, because we don't go for the roots of things. Anyway, so you're safe in God's refuge. Psalms 41:11 says, "By this I know God is pleased with me when my enemy does not shout triumph over me." Proverbs 16 says, "If a man's ways please the Lord, it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." Paul said, "Your enemies are not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers." So, does that mean we don't get attacked? We're going to be attacked by the enemy. But the Bible says the scepter of wickedness will not rest upon the land of the righteous. We're going to be attacked, but we take up the shield of faith. Amen. It's not going to overcome us. Now, another way of saying it is like the sister Janie taught on having on the whole armor of God. That's another way of saying it. I don't have on the whole armor of God unless I'm submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. I have no armor without being yielded to Him. Without the breastplate of righteousness, I have no armor. And so God has a refuge. The scripture says in Isaiah 35 that the highway of holiness, no lion will walk on the highway of holiness. So this is another way of saying walking the way of wisdom is walking the highway of holiness. Job 28 says, "The way of wisdom no fowl of the air knows." The demons can't even see you when you're hidden with God in Christ, yielded to the Lordship of Jesus. They only can see it when you get outside of God's refuge. And I don't have my little pointer here, but when they get out here where the arrows are, when you step out from under God's refuge, you step out in the full view of the demons, and they have the legal right to get you. Amen?
Amen.
And so praise God. And so I want to read a story here about an enabler. One day, as a small opening appeared on a cocoon, a man sat and watched for several hours as the butterfly struggled to force its body through that little hole. Then it seemed to stop making any progress. It appeared as if it had gotten as far as it could, and it could go no further. So the man decided to help the butterfly. He took a pair of scissors and snipped off the remaining bit of the cocoon. The butterfly then emerged easily, but it had a swollen body and small, shriveled wings. The man continued to watch the butterfly because he expected that at any moment the wings would enlarge and expand to be able to support the body, which would contract in time. Neither happened. In fact, the butterfly spent the rest of its life crawling around with a swollen body and shriveled wings. It never was able to fly. What the man in his kindness and haste did, he did not understand, was that the restricting cocoon and the struggle required for the butterfly to get through the tiny opening were God's way of forcing fluid from the body of the butterfly into its wings so that it would be ready for flight once it achieved its freedom from the cocoon. Sometimes struggles are exactly what we need in our life. If God allowed us to go through our life without any obstacles, it would cripple us. We would not be as strong as what we could have been. We could never fly. And the man in this story gives a vivid picture of what an enabler or a rescuer does to a life. When we try to keep people from our children, we can't bear the thought of them going through pain. Can I tell you, what you do is prolong the agony of there ever being a change. This story gives a vivid picture of what an enabler does to destroy a life. To enable in the dictionary means to supply with the means, knowledge, or opportunity to make able, to make feasible or possible, to give legal power, capacity, or sanction to. An enabler is a person who makes operational, to activate, to afford with opportunity, permission, ability, to allow, let, indulge, permit, entrust, grant, license, entitle, authorize, okay, give assent to, consent to, endorse, empower, enfranchise, give one's blessing to help, to make able, to supply with power physically or morally, to furnish with sufficient power or ability to give aid to support physically, legally, or financially, and in this case, to support by providing the means for a person to continue in their sin. Enablers are noble martyrs who defend evil in the name of love and justice. They have a twisted mercy, a false love, a false compassion, and injustice because justice seems too cruel and too harsh to let them suffer. And so when a person is an enabler, what happens, say you have a child that doesn't want to live under the lordship of Jesus, and they're out there in the world, and they're getting hit, and you just can't stand to see them suffer. So what you do is you run out there and you cover them with your umbrella. Now, who gets hit? So you feel the pain. Is that right? And you gripe and you complain because they're costing you money. Right? And you're suffering while they're out skiing. While they're out doing whatever they do. And then because a person is enabling, he's playing Savior in their life. And he's taking the hits for that person. And they complain about how they're suffering and being treated. The Bible says in Proverbs, wounds from a friend are better than kisses from an enemy. Proverbs says, punishment that hurts chases evil from the heart. Is that right? Psalm says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. It was good that I was afflicted because I keep his word. You know, my son... And I don't know if I would do this again because I thought my son was going to be raised up and be healed. I didn't know he was going to go off into eternity. But about a year before he got AIDS, I turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so that his soul would be saved. Now, that's a serious prayer to pray. I felt like God led me to pray that prayer. I don't know, but I would think a little further about it if I did it again. But on my son's deathbed, he came to the Lord. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit, turned totally from his sin. And so one day a lady, I didn't think he knew that I had done that. And so somebody came to visit us, and they were talking to me about their rebellious child. And my son popped up in his sick condition. He said, you need to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. That's what Mom did to me. And, you know, they asked him what his favorite verse was. And he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. It was good that I was afflicted because now I keep his word. And I thought God was going to let something happen and then he was going to repent, turn to the Lord and be a mighty man of God. Because the Lord told me he would be a great servant of the Lord. I assumed he'd still be alive. I didn't know that it would be through a video that's still being shown. He died in 89. This video is still being shown on cable access TV. How many years? 89, 99, that's 10 years. 17 years after he died. And, of course, the impact that God used this boy in my life to teach me to pray. Had I not had him, I would never have had the prayer life that I had. But I had rather see him in heaven with Jesus than continuing a homosexual lifestyle. He had joined the church, been baptized 3 times. But it took that dreaded disease of AIDS to bring him to 100% commitment to the Lord. And I told a doctor, a Christian doctor, I said, you know, I don't have much confidence in deathbed commitments. And he said, oh, he said, I do. He said, I've seen people that were suffering with the worst disease in the world, and they just get meaner and meaner and meaner. But my son got sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And so I thank God that I'm going to see him again. And I thank God that he has forgiven me for my mistakes, and I've forgiven myself, but sometimes things crop up and I have to forgive myself again. And an enabler, the scripture says in Proverbs, open rebuke is better than hidden love. An enabler's justice and authority originate with himself. That's in Habakkuk 1, 3, 4, and 7. And injustice means that which is just and lawful according to God's law. So whenever we practice justice, we're practicing God's law. And you know what? You cannot be a servant of God if you do not uphold justice. And if you don't stand for what's just and lawful according to God's Word. Because the only thing that's going to help anybody is God's Word. Enablers are angry and vexed at the person they're enabling. And they can, and they're experiencing pain, possibly experiencing pain in their body and their knees. I've had ladies here at Lake Hamilton get their knees and their arms healed when they repented of enabling. They may have a 40-year-old son they're still supporting, or a 40-year-old daughter. I've had women come up to me and say, "My arms, I've got arthritis in my arms," and the Lord showed us that they were hanging on to this child, or their knees have to do with worship. What you're worshiping. If you've got knee problems, you're worshiping something besides God. If you have one knee problem, it's bowing your knee to Baal, and it could be food. Amen? That's been the biggest Baal in my life. It's been food. And so when I would lead these people in repentance of making a God or trying to be a Savior, I'd lead them in repentance, and they'd be healed. And I've had at least two or three women here at Lake Hamilton since I've been teaching up in the ladies' group healed of pain in their arms. The Bible says remove vexation, which is grief and anger, from your heart, and put pain around pain out of your body. You see, if you're enabling a child, what you're doing is holding on. You're giving them money, but you're hanging on to them because you're trying to keep them out of the slop. From my experience, what you need to do is take your foot and kick them right in the slop. And let them suffer the pain of their choices. And let me tell you something. If you quit trying to be their Savior, they'll look for a Savior. They don't need a Savior as long as you're their Savior. And can I tell you, when you're being their Savior, you're in rebellion toward God. You are not submitting to God. You're trying to run interference and protect them from God's discipline. Because when they step outside of God's refuge, they're going to get hit. And if you try to cover them, so will you. Well, I want you to see this in the Word of God. Enablers are worshiping those they're enabling rather than worshiping God. Enablers are usurpers of God's authority, and they pervert justice, and God calls them evil and wicked. When you see what God has to say about your enabling, you won't want to do it anymore. Enablers do not practice justice, and they pervert the paths of God. Justice, that which is just and lawful according to God's law. God calls them wicked. An enabler perverts the way of God's justice. Proverbs 17:23, a wicked man receives a bribe from the bosom to pervert the ways of justice. Go to Proverbs 21:7. Enablers are drug away because they refuse to act with justice. The violence of the wicked will drag them away because they refuse to act with justice. An enabler is terrified at the execution of justice. Proverbs 21:15. The execution of justice is joy for the righteous, but is terror to the workers of iniquity. You see, if we can see the pain will bring them to God, just like, have you ever learned anything from your blessings? I've learned everything I've learned. It seems like I've learned from my pain. Amen? As I've said, God, what's wrong? What's the matter? What you trying to show me? And then He changes me. Praise God. Enabler is a worker of iniquity. Proverbs 28:5. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. Isaiah 10:1. If you'll turn there, please. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "Woe to those who enact evil statutes and to those who constantly record unjust decisions, so as to deprive the needy of justice and rob the poor of my people of their rights, in order that widows may be their spoil and that they may plunder the orphans." An enabler twists everything that's straight. Go, if you will, to Micah chapter 3, verse 1. Micah chapter 3, verse 1. "And I said, hear now, heads of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice, which is what's lawful and just in God's eyes? On the other hand, I'm filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and courage to make known to Jacob, that's the church, his rebellious act, even to Israel his sin. Now hear this, heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel who abhor justice and twist everything that's straight. Those who uphold his justice seeks wisdom and justice. It says the law of God is in his heart and in his or her step, and his or her steps do not slip. Psalms 37:28-30. Psalms 106 verse 3 says, how blessed are those who keep justice, who practice righteousness at all times. Proverbs 20 verse 8, a king who sits on the throne of justice disperses all evil with his eyes. Proverbs 29:4. The king gives stability to the land by justice, but a man who takes bribes overthrows it. Isaiah 42:1. Behold, my servant, speaking of Jesus, and of course we do the ministry of Jesus. Jesus said, greater things will you do because I go to the Father. He said, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights, I put my spirit upon him, and he'll bring forth justice to the nations. Enablers are false deliverers who deliver people from problems for the moment, and then 5 minutes later, they're back into the same problem, rather than allow them to go through the consequences of their choice that will, if they receive instruction, will change their life for eternity. We try to bail them out of a 5-minute problem, a 15-minute problem. We try to bail them out paying their bills, and we're the one that suffers. Enablers take sides with rebellion, and they oppose the truth. And they're operating under an Antichrist, Jezebel, Python spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Proverbs 10:2, ill-gotten gains do not profit, but righteousness delivers us from death. And so we try to bail them out of a temporary problem, and what we do is we cost them for eternity. Enablers resist authority. Romans 13:2, therefore he who resists authority has opposed the ordinances of God. And they who've opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. God works in authority, and he wants us to submit to authority, and all authority originates with him and his word. Enablers side with a person or group over God and over authority. And when I used to have a farm, if I would try to discipline somebody, there would be people. There was one precious lady in our church, and I just love her dearly. But she has a twisted mercy spirit. It's good to have mercy. But I would kick somebody out of the farm, and she was a member of my church. She would take them into her house. And now, bless her little heart, she's suffering now because she's allowing some things in another house she has that's not right. I want to say something. My children will not commit adultery or fornication in my house or on my property. I have a granddaughter, granddaughters, grandchildren that are godly grandchildren. And I would almost give them the last penny I have. I'm trying to think, Lord, how can I give my granddaughter a wonderful present when she graduates from the University of Texas in May? I want to give her everything I have. But if she was living a lifestyle of sin, I would not give her one cent. I mean that with all my heart. Now, I had a son, and I enabled the son, and my mother enabled my son, and please know I'm not trying to criticize my mother because I didn't know but what she was doing right. But when my son was 20 years old, 18 to 20, till he died, well, from 20 years old till he died to 25, when he was living a homosexual lifestyle, she sent him from 18, I think it was, I can't remember if it was $1,800, $2,000, or $2,400 a month. Now, in 1982, that was a lot of money. I mean, it's a lot of money today. Because she could not bear the thought of that boy living on the street. And I couldn't bear it either, so I didn't try to stop her. But you know what happened? Had he had to sleep on the street, he may be alive today. You see, what you do is you bail him out of something temporary, And what you do, they may die because God, if you've been praying for God to change them, He's going to change them, but He's got to get you out of the way first. He's got to get you letting Him be the Savior, and you quit trying to be the Savior. But I don't blame my mother for this, and I'm not blaming myself, even though I've made so many mistakes. God's forgiven me, and I've forgiven myself. But as I look back on that whole deal, I really believe my son would be alive today if my mother hadn't have been bailing him out, and I hadn't been allowing it. Because God had to give him a problem that my mother and I could not fix. Amen? Because I prayed for this boy for 20 years. And God says, if your sons and daughters forsake my covenant, I'm going to visit their transgressions with a rod and their iniquities with stripes, but I will not deal falsely with my covenant. And He's going to use the rod on them, and if we try to bail them out, we get the rod. And so God wants us to be delivered from being enablers. Enabling spirit is an evil spirit in a person who exalts human opinions over the Word of God. Enabling can bring death instead of life to a person. Enablers are determined to follow man's command instead of God's command. Hosea 5:11, Ephraim is oppressed, crushed in judgment because he was determined to follow man's command. And Ephraim is another word for Israel. God says in Proverbs 21:3, to do righteousness and justice, that which is just, lawful, according to God's law, not man's law, is desired by the Lord rather than sacrifice. God tells us in Zechariah 7:9, thus has the Lord of hosts said, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion to his brother. God instructs us in Isaiah 1:16, if you'll go there, please. Isaiah 1:16. Praise you, Lord. Verse 16 says, wash yourself, make yourself clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice. You cannot serve God without seeking justice. Justice is what's right in God's eyes, not your eyes. Defend, reprove the it says reprove the ruthless. That's the rebellious. Defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness. He wants you to be compassionate, but when you enable, you have a twisted, ungodly, demonic compassion. You've gone overboard the wrong direction. To love kindness and walk humbly before your God. You see, for me to enable, that's pride. I'm thinking that I know more than what God's Word says. If a rebellious man seeks only evil and a cruel messenger will be sent against him, I'm trying to intervene in God's business. Isaiah 56:1 says, preserve justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Isaiah 5:7, for the vineyard of the heart of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his delightful plant. Thus he looked for justice, but behold bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold a cry of distress. Do you see the cry of distress here? Solomon prayed for discernment to understand justice in 1 Kings 3:9. And I want to read there. You want to turn to 1 Kings 3:16. Remember when the two women were disputing over the baby and they come before Solomon? Then the two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. At 1 Kings 3:17 now. And the one woman said, oh, my Lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. Verse 18. And it happened on the third day after I gave birth that this woman also gave birth to a child, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, only the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on it. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead son in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, behold, he was dead. And when I looked at him carefully in the morning, behold, he was not my son whom I bore. Then the other woman said, no, for the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. But the first woman said, no, for the dead woman is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king said, the one says, this is my son who's living, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, for your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. 1 Kings 3:24. And the king said, give me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose child was the living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son, and said, oh, my Lord, give the living son to her. By no means kill him. He shall be neither, but the other said, he shall be neither mine nor yours, divide him. Then the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. When all Israel heard of the judgment which the king handed down, they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. God, the Bible says that God leads in justice, and nothing escapes his notice. That which is just and lawful according to God's law. Psalms 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of thy throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. God's throne is established on justice. God will not act wickedly, nor will he pervert justice. He pays a man according to his work and makes him find it according to his way. Job 36:5, behold, God is mighty, but does not despise any. He is mighty in strength and understanding. And I must have not copied the rest of that when I transferred this message. Psalms 33:5. God loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. Psalms 111:7. The works of his hands are true, truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. God tells us to judge with righteous judgment. Enablers deny God. Matthew 10:33. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father who's in heaven. Enablers call evil good. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to the man who calls evil good and good evil. Woe doesn't sound very good, does it? Enablers have a form of godliness. 2 Timothy 3:5, it says, that talks about a people that have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. And that word power is the power inherent in repentance. Enablers reap what another person sows. You know, we all have a set of stuff to reap. But if we're interfering in God's business, we also reap whatever the one we're enabling is sowing. And why is it that enablers, when they do not enable, they feel guilty? Well, in other words, why is it when you are not bailing someone out with false mercy, false compassion, why do you feel guilty? It can go back to the guilt that's in your own conscience. I know situations in certain instances where maybe a husband has done everything that this lost child's doing, and they just keep bailing them out because they feel guilty in their own conscience. And until your conscience is clear, you will continue enabling because of the guilt that's in your own conscience. Another reason why a person would enable is coming out of generations of alcoholism. Because children of alcoholics, they a lot of times, in order to cope, they go into denial. And there's at least one rescuer in the family of every alcoholic. Somebody that's, because they had to rescue daddy. I see this in family members who's had alcoholic fathers. And I see these family members still trying to rescue, still trying to enable. Or the guilt of my own conscience, or because maybe it came down generationally. Another reason why we would enable, I've seen parents not spank their children because maybe their mother and daddy were too physically abusive in their spanking. So because they had some unresolved guilt issues and unresolved childhood conflicts, they just couldn't bear to whip the little child. And can I tell you, when you don't discipline your child, that is the root of bipolar and all forms of mental problems. Go, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 1, please. Not only is all mental problems a curse, according to Deuteronomy 28, but Isaiah chapter 1 says in verse 9, "Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint." And that word sick, it's the picture of not of a sick man, but rather one who's been flogged in the head. Can you see when you get outside of God's refuge, you get flogged? And that's how we get spiritually stoned today when we're in rebellion. In the Old Testament, a child was taken before the elders of the church and they stoned them to death with real rocks. Today, when you and I get outside of God's refuge, we get stoned by the powers of darkness. And this word means the whole head is sick. The picture is not of a sick man, but rather of one who's been flogged. And the whole heart is faint, from the sole of the foot even to the head. There's nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged, nor softened with oil. Your land is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your fields, strangers are devouring them in your presence. It is desolation is overthrown by strangers, and the daughter of Zion, that's the church member, is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a watchman's hut in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. You know what the word besieged means? In the curse in Deuteronomy 28 because of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments. One of the curses is in verse 52 of Deuteronomy 28, "And it shall besiege you, the curse, in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted in come down throughout your land. And it shall besiege you in all your towns throughout your land where the Lord your God will drive you." Besiege means this. It means to surround with hostile forces, to crowd around, to hem in, to harass or opportune. Now, opportune has to do with voices or with, you know, when you opportune God, you're asking God for something. Well, when a person's besieged, it's like their spiritual wall is torn down. The wall of Jerusalem is totally torn down. And they're surrounded with hostile forces and voices that talk to them. This is the route to people hearing voices. It's because of being besieged. It's a curse. In fact, you could read Deuteronomy 28 and circle everything that you think applies to you. And I know I can still see some things where I'm not walking in blessings in some areas. It says failing eyes. Is that a curse? Severe and lasting plagues, miserable and chronic sicknesses. And every sickness is not even written in this book of the law. So what we're doing is we're going to men to find answers to only something God wants to tell us. And if I'm under a curse, I can go to the world, but it's not going to get fixed until I find I might be hanging in there. The more excellent way is to find the cause of the curse and repent, and then healing will come. And I've got some things I've been looking for a long time. I've probably spent 40 or 50 hours repenting over eye scriptures. Last three times I went to the eye doctor, though, my eyes were better. A place that was going to be a cataract is not there anymore. Just repenting over the Word of God, whatever your symptoms are. Line up with the Word. James 4:7 says, "Give yourself to God, number one. Number two, resist the devil and he'll flee." Resist the devil and he'll flee will not work until you first do number one. Amen. Submit yourself to God. Amen. That's why a lot of deliverance doesn't work. You know, if you don't find the root to things, you can just pray over somebody and it's like a bunch of buzzards gathered around a dead carcass. You just run and you pray for them and the buzzards scatter. And the minute you turn your back, the buzzards come back because you didn't bury the carcass. You've got to get to the root to things. Praise God. Okay. And so ask the Lord, why is it you enable? Maybe you have a mate that enables and you don't want them to, but you're cooperating with your mate because they're an enabler. And you know, until a person finds out why they're an enabler, they're going to keep on enabling. Parents were too severe, disciplined too cruelly. Another thing would make you an enabler is that you never were disciplined, maybe. Because of your own mom and dad issues, the Bible says the eye that mocks the father and scorns the mother shall be plucked out by the ravens of the valley. So I'm blind in the areas where I've made judgments on my own mother and father. The Bible says that if I curse my own mother and father, my lamp goes out in time of darkness. How many of us have spoken evil of our mother and father? I know I have, and I had probably one of the best mom and dads anybody could have. I'm thankful they were not perfect people, but I've never felt unloved a day in my life. I never felt unprotected a day in my life because I had still have a protecting father. Weren't perfect, but I had good parents, and I have spoken evil of my parents. And that's why when I mention them, I'm trying to be careful about it because God wants us to bless our parents. Even if you have the worst parents in the whole world, you know what? They were victims of how they were trained up. We are products of generational iniquities of the forefathers. But I want to tell you, if you want to see change, if you'll get back over under God's authority, and Carla taught me this scripture, when your mother and father forsake you or cut you loose,
yeah,
the Lord will take you up.
Amen.
Right? And so if a parent will get back over under God's authority or whoever you're trying to enable, quit enabling them. If it's not your child, somebody else will probably do it. You know, because there's enablers everywhere that do that. You just need to pray that nobody can help them but God. But if you just let them get over there and let the enemy, let whatever you, the fear you have, the worst thing, they're going to go to jail or they're going to, have to live on the street or whatever. My son, when he was dying, he said, you know, people that come out of a homosexual lifestyle, they're used to silk sheets and all these things. He said, Mother, these Prickel sheets have to go. I said, son, he said, Mother, can I have some silk sheets? I said, no, honey, you're going to have to deal with the Prickel. I'm not going to spend a lot of money for silk sheets. But anyway, just let God deal with them, get out of God's way, love them, be kind. See, this is the only way you can be kind to them. This is the only way that you can get over your bitterness toward them. This is the only thing you can do to have peace with the Lord is to get back over under your refuge and just turn them over to God. When my mother and father forsake me, cut me loose, guess what? I'm going to look for a Savior, and I'm going to get back over here, and I'm going to find a Savior. Amen? If that child's been trained up in the way he should go, let him receive God's correction. Amen? Many people are out there because they weren't trained up in the way they should go. They were trained up in the way they should not go, and they're still living the way they should not go. But praise God, through the blood of Jesus, the cross of Jesus, God sets out to correct those things that were not corrected in childhood. And so be a person that practices justice and quit enabling. If you want to see change, otherwise God's going to have to put you through some more stuff where you just get fed up with it. And when he changes you, guess what? Your kids are going to get changed. Amen? I'm discovering that if I want things to change in my circumstances, I've got to deal with my issues. If I don't like what my daughter-in-law's doing, I'm asking the Lord to show me through her what I've done wrong. Many times, God will show me something through my daughter-in-law or through my son, something that I've done. And instead of pointing my finger, and I liked what, I don't know if it was Janie or Kathy that said this, but let's see, what was I going to say now? I forgot what I'm going to say. Oh, trying to blame somebody else for your problems. Oh, my daughter-in-law did this. Oh, my son did this. Oh, why? Oh, goodness, over here. I'm saying, okay, God, where's my log? Get the log out of your eye, and you know what happens? Usually their speck just falls out of their eye. Or you change for sure, or they change, or your perception changes, or you don't care if they change when you get your heart right. Amen? Okay, what I want you to do is I want you to stand up and I want to ask you to ask the Lord, if you're an enabler, Lord, why am I an enabler? What happened to me in childhood? And we're not, when I talk about mom and dad, I'm not blaming mom and dad, because your wrong reactions to what happened to you is what you're taking accountability for. You understand that? Because instead of responding the way God wanted you to by going to the cross as a little child, you didn't know you could do that. So you reacted the wrong way and turned to a promise you made yourself that when I grow up, life's going to be different. Well, guess what? It ain't different, is it? What you judge your mother and father for sets in motion a reaping process that's going to keep on reaping. Nobody's going to change until you change that reaping through repentance. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come before your throne. And Lord, I ask you to give me answers. Why did you let me hear this today? You had a purpose. So thank you, Lord. That you said if I ask wisdom, I'm to ask without doubting. And if I'm willing to receive your correction,
I gain understanding.
In Jesus' name.
You
know, for those of you who think, well, nobody prayed for me. Yesterday, Kathy and I ministered to several people, and we didn't really cast demons out of them because we felt like the Lord wanted us just to instruct them. And this morning, both of those ladies were better, not because we prayed, but because they received truth. The truth sets you free. So when you listen to truth, you don't have to be prayed for. When you hear truth and you receive it, you're free. Amen? So Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for trying to be the Savior. Forgive me for getting in your way. Forgive me for rebellion and witchcraft. And operating under a Jezebel spirit. Forgive me for supplying the means and the knowledge. Making people able to sin and to be comfortable in it. Forgive me for being bitter and angry at these people that I've been trying to keep out of the slop. Lord, I let them go.
I forsake them.
And you'll take them up. Forgive me for being out there in Satan's realm, calling evil good and good evil and practicing injustice. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me that my justice and authority has originated with me. Forgive me for being angry and vexed. Forgive me for worshiping those that I've been enabling. And getting in your way of correcting them. Forgive me for usurping your authority. Forgive me for perverting your paths. Forgive me for wickedness. Forgive me for perverting your way of justice. Forgive me for refusing to act with justice, which is causing me to be drug away. God, forgive me for hanging on to people, trying to hold them, keep them out of the slop, rather than let them get in it and be like the prodigal son that gets tired of the slop and then he goes home. To the Father. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for being terrified and fearful of the execution of your justice. God, forgive me for being a worker of iniquity, not understanding justice, enacting evil statutes, and recording unjust decisions. Forgive me for depriving the needy of justice. God, forgive me for twisting everything that's straight. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for abhorring justice and twisting everything that's straight. God, forgive me that your law has not been in my heart and my feet have slipped. Forgive me for not keeping justice so I could be blessed. Forgive me for not practicing righteousness at all times. Forgive me for not dispersing evil with my eyes. Forgive me for not practicing justice so you could give me stability. Forgive me for taking bribes and giving bribes. And overthrowing your justice. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not bringing forth justice to the nations. Forgive me for being a false deliverer to deliver people from momentary pain at the cost of eternal change. God, forgive me for not for taking sides with rebellion and opposing the truth and being a controller. Lord, I give up control of my life. I yield to you. Forgive me for enabling, forgive me for resisting authority, which has caused me to receive condemnation upon myself. Have mercy, Lord. God, forgive me for siding with other people over your authority. Forgive me for exalting human opinion, my opinion, over your opinion. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for trying to play God in people's lives. Forgive me for pride. Forgive me for opening people up to death. Prolonging the agony. Helping them in their sin. Helping them survive. Supporting them in their sin. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for following man's command. Forgive me for not doing righteousness and justice. Forgive me for dispensing true, not dispensing true justice.
Forgive me for not dispensing true justice.
And kindness and compassion.
And kindness and compassion.
Lord, forgive me for being more concerned about the temporary pain.
Lord, forgive me for being concerned about temporary pain.
Than true love and compassion. That would be concerned for their eternal salvation. God, forgive me for not doing good. Seeking righteousness. Seeking justice. Forgive me for trying to serve you without practicing justice. Forgive me for not reproving the ruthless. Defending the orphan. And pleading for the widow. Forgive me for not consenting and obeying. So I could eat the best of the land. Forgive me for refusing and rebellion and rebelling, which is causing me to be devoured by the sword. Forgive me, Lord, for not loving truth, not loving kindness, and not walking humbly before you. Forgive me for not preserving justice. God, forgive me for injustice, which has caused blood to be shed for those that I've been trying to protect. God, I ask you to give me the justice and wisdom of Solomon, that nothing would be too difficult for me. But Lord, I certainly don't want to fall like he did because of all the wives and idols and false gods. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you that nothing escapes your notice. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Praise you that you will not act wickedly or pervert justice. And Lord, thank you that you pay us according to our work, to discipline us or to reward us for good, or to discipline us for our own disobedience. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me that the works of my hands have not been truth and justice. Forgive me for denying you, calling evil good, having a form of godliness. God, and forgive me for reaping what someone else has sown. It's enough to reap my own mess without having to reap somebody else's too. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for all the things that you've shown me with my own parents, my wrong reactions to my own hurt and pain. I forgive my parents and forefathers for being physically abusive. I forgive my mate for being an enabler. Lord, show me how to skillfully, wisely, and with a humble, submissive heart to speak the right words to my mate so they would see what's being done. Lord, in Jesus' name, you said that if I confess my sin, you're faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And I ask now to be cleansed by the holy, precious blood of Jesus. Forgive me for being angry and bitter and holding unforgiveness. God, forgive me for being hurt, not taking my hurt to the cross. In Jesus' name. Now I command every spirit of enabling to go, all spirits that have perverted justice to leave. I command every spirit that came in through judging mother and father out. I break the power of all spirits of guilt. I command you to go. I break the power of ungodliness, unrighteousness. I break the power of every lying spirit that lies to them. I break the power of the lying spirit that tells them because mother and dad were too harsh that God's too harsh. I break the power of that lie in the name of Jesus. And I command you to go now in Jesus' name. I command wickedness to go. I break the power of all spirits of bloodshed. A cry of distress, I command you out in the name of Jesus. I break the power of unkindness, false compassion, false mercy in the name of Jesus. I break the power of injustice in Jesus' name. I break the power of rebellion to authority. I break the power of witchcraft. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. All spirits of exalting human opinions over God's, I say go in the name of Jesus. I break the power of spirits of death. I break the power of disobedience to the voice of God and His commandments. I break the power of bipolar, mental illness, insanity, all forms of mental problems. I break your power. I break the power of depression in the name of Jesus. I break the power of instability. I break your power in Jesus' name. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. All spirits that would oppose the truth, all spirits that oppose justice, all spirits that tell them that God's justice is too harsh, go in Jesus' name. All spirits that pervert the way of justice, I command you to go. Demons that have drugged them away, I command you to go. Spirits of fear of the execution of justice, I command you to go. All spirits that keeps them from understanding justice, go in Jesus' name. All Savior rescuing spirits out in Jesus' name. I break your power in the name of Jesus. All spirits of anger, vexation, grief, go in Jesus' name. All usurping authority spirits out in the name of Jesus. All spirits that pervert the path of God out in the name of Jesus. I break your power in the name of Jesus. in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. When you feel a release, when you feel a release, in Jesus' name, sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. Your name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Now, Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Now, I want you to get a partner, and I want you to jerk them off the people they've been covering and bring them under God's refuge. So, Velma, say like this. Say, Lord. Amen. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I just want to thank Glenn and thank all of y'all, and I just cover you with love, and I bless you to go home, and we bless there to be change in your circumstances in Jesus' name. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Patty. Thank you, Dr. No.
We want to invite everybody to the camp meetings coming up. The next one is over April the 5th, and also, Glenn wanted me to thank you all again for your attendance and for your help and just for coming and being here this weekend. We also want to invite you to anyone that has internet access. There are a tremendous amount of resources on our website at LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. Things that will help people, messages. There's a tremendous message by Mitzi Burton on the spirit of Jezebel, and then a whole service of deliverance. There's ministry available on that website for people that don't have the funds to buy books and CDs and so forth.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.